worship and adore the Lord our God. Will you pray with all your power while we try to preach the word? All's in vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One come down. Brethren, pray, and holy manna will be showered all around. I obviously have to condense, and that's okay. Pastor, you wouldn't believe this, but last week I preached a message in 10 minutes. Amen? And so we can do it by God's grace, and so we will skip all the preliminaries. I do understand we got folks that have to go to work and go to school, and if you'll just give us a divided attention, and we'll have a word from the Lord, especially from you. Amen? And so if you'll just pray briefly, and I'll get to preaching. So please just bow your head and pray, and I'll break the silence with a prayer that's appropriate for the message tonight. Father, I pray even as Paul prayed, that you would strengthen us with might by your Spirit in the inner man, that Christ might dwell or abide in our hearts by faith. Yea, that he would not only, the Spirit of Christ would not only be resident, but president, dear God, over our hearts as we surrender our hearts to him. Lord, so that we might be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and the depth and the height of your love. That we might know by experience the love of God which passes knowledge as a result of being filled with all the fullness of God. So that, Lord, you might do exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or think through the power that's already at work in us to the praise and the glory of your grace. Do it, Lord, tonight, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Time would fail me to really acknowledge how much of a blessing you folks have been and are, and this afternoon was just wonderful as I spent time with your pastor. Not only do I love him, but I like him and his wife as well. Amen. And that really does make a difference. I won't waste time giving my testimony. Maybe there's time for that at another point. But I would just kind of rehearse this morning's message. We talked about the four witnesses in reference to evidence of whether or not you're truly saved. The witness of God the Father, the witness of God the Son, the witness of the Holy Spirit, and your own personal witness or testimony. Tonight, the title of the message is going to be Our Testimony, Mine and Yours, as a result of having been saved. Amen. We mentioned this morning that you're either a mission project, amen, you need to get saved, amen, or you are a missionary, amen, by virtue of Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. Jesus said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always until the end of this age. Amen. And so as we look at the message tonight, I want to encourage you to take inventory. Take inventory. This is a missionary message. This is a testimony that every Christian ought to have. At one time, I used to claim, well, this is my testimony. But, you know, as I looked into this thing and as I looked at Christianity, you know, this should be all of our testimony. If you turn with me to the text of the message, it's Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It reaches to the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bow down with care. God gave his son to win. This erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. Oh, love of God, so rich and pure, so measureless and strong, it will forevermore endure the saints and angels' song. I'd like to talk to you tonight about the love of God, amen? And turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also have loved us and have given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. or as for a sweet-smelling aroma. I want to talk to you tonight about our testimony, and I want you to take inventory and just look in your own heart and see if this is your testimony personally. My mandate or my vision that God has given me as an evangelist, as a Christian, amen, is to put feet on charity. That's another way of saying to walk in love the way Christ did, according to Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. And I'm not talking about man's love. I'm talking about the love of God, amen? I'm talking about a supernatural. I'm talking about a selfless. I'm talking about a sacrificial love. I'm talking about a love that is immeasurable, amen? I'm talking about an everlasting love. I'm talking about God's perfect love, amen? I'm talking about the love of God today. And the Lord commands every Christian, not just me. In this portion of Scripture, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and has given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. And you know, this is a very, very needful message because, brother, I love you, amen, but I'm here to tell you that I see this lacking in the body of Christ today. Amen? Be ye therefore followers of God. My mandate or vision is to put feet on charity by following God, by walking in love as Christ did according to Ephesians chapter 5, 1 and 2. Charity is, according to the word of God, charity is the love of God. Amen? Charity is the love of God. The love of God is defined by the nature of who God is. God is love. Amen? The love of God is described in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. If we had time, we'd talk about it. But, amen, for homework, read it. Amen. And read it again to experience it. Amen, if you haven't already. The love of God is best demonstrated on the cross. I believe it's the greatest picture of the love of God is the cross, the empty cross. So my mandate or vision is to put feet on charity. Is that your testimony? Is that your testimony? Is that what you live for? Amen? To walk in love as Christ also loved us, being a follower of God and walk in his love. My mission is to experience, embrace, express the love of God. Experience the love that comes from God by his Spirit. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Experience his love. Embrace his love. To embrace is a word you probably have never heard before in context. Amen? But the Lord showed me this. You know, you need to experience God's love, and then you need to embrace that love. I'm talking about his love. When you experience that love, man, you have to keep yourself in the love of God. Amen? You have to keep experiencing that love through unbroken fellowship. Amen? And Jesus defines it this way over in John chapter 15, beginning in verse 9 to verse 12. He said, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. How do you do that, Lord? If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I kept my Father's commandment and abide in his love. Wow. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy may be full. And this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. How do you do that? By joyfully keeping his commandments. Amen? But the point is that we try to define this word and really grab hold of the symbol that I'm trying to show you. Amen? You experience that love that comes from God. Then you embrace that love. You continue to experience that love. You don't let it go. You know, by faith, you know that God loves you in spite of who you are and what you've done, what you will do, what you're going to do. He already knows, and yet he loves you because his love is unconditional and immeasurable. Come on, somebody. You embrace that love by joyfully keeping his commandments the same way that Jesus did. Romans chapter 6, verse 17, and we'll talk about this more tomorrow night, but the Bible said, but God be thanked that you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine or that teaching that was delivered unto you. Experience that love Then you can embrace that love, and then you can express that love. What's that look like? Somebody help me. What's this a symbol of? You express that love, God's love, back to God the Father by loving him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. To your neighbor, all those that God put in the sphere of your influence, everyone that you come in contact with, God put them in your path so that they might allow them to experience God's love. Everyone. And then we love one another the same way Christ loved us. Wow. You can't manufacture that kind of love in the flesh. You'll get, amen, brother. Amen. The song that I heard years ago, to love the Lord our God is the heartbeat of our mission, the spring from which our service overflows. Across the street and around the world, the mission's still the same. To love God. This is our mission statement for our church. Love God, love people, serve others, tell everyone. Experience, embrace, and express the love of God. That's my mission. Is that your mission? I mean, that's what it's all about. Amen? Our means. How do you do this? How do you do this? I'm glad you asked. John chapter 15, verses 4 and 5, Jesus said this, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches, he that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. Now I've danced around that subject, you know, the last time I was here, and I'm dancing a little bit today, but tomorrow night, I want to share with you this whole lesson on the vine and the branches. Amen? As it relates to missionary work. So it's going to be in context for what you want me to do in support of you as an evangelist. Amen? I heard you say something last time I was here. We just need more love. Well, I'm here to show you and remind you how we'll be able to experience that love, embrace that love, and express that. And we're talking about the type of love that will motivate you like Paul. Paul said, it's the love of Christ that constraineth me. Amen. He was the greatest man, the greatest Christian, the greatest man perhaps ever who ever lived other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And why was that? Because he was constrained by the love of God. That was his motive. How many of you know that God is more concerned about your motive than your movement or what you do? Amen. God is more concerned about your motive. He looks at the heart. And if you look at 1 Corinthians 13, I'm sure you already know this, and I'm here to remind you that anything that you do apart from the love of God, listen, man, I'm just going to burn up. It doesn't count for anything in glory. How do we get that twisted, brother? So anyhow, Jesus is divine. And if you're saved, you have a branch. And he wants us to live that branch life. He wants us to come to a place where he wants every one of his children. Come to a place where we just say, listen, I surrender. I'm talking about after you surrender for salvation. Where you surrender daily and moment by moment, just like a natural branch surrenders to the natural vine, where you surrender to him. He said, Lord, I can do nothing without you, and I don't even want to try anymore. You let him live his life through you. That's Christian fellowship, by the way. The mutual sharing of the love of Christ, or the life of Christ, with God and other Christians. Abiding me, and I in you. To abide in him means to remain, or to continue to stay in close fellowship with him. Until he enables you to bear the only fruit that his Spirit produces, the fruit of the Spirit, which is the likeness of Jesus Christ. To the glory of God and to the benefit of others who are looking for Christ, looking to see Christ in you. You know, that's what the problem is with the church today. Everybody's looking for Christ. We're looking for him in the church. We're looking for him outside of the church. People are looking for Christ. I mean, they're looking, they're searching. And only Christ that they're going to see is us. And the only way that we can manifest Christ in this day and age that we live in, this second stage of progressive practical sanctification, is we have to yield and allow him to live his life through us. And so my mandate, our mandate, and you take inventory, is this yours? Is this yours, son? I'm asking you, is it? Is your mandate, your vision, to put feet on charity in Australia? If you don't, man, you're going to fail. Boy, you're handsome, good-looking young men. Now, I don't love you because you're good-looking, but you are. I'll give you credit. You look almost good as me. But any young men, I love good men, especially young men, because, you know, us older guys, we love to live our lives vicariously through you. But, you know, I'm satisfied with being able to instruct you. And you're a good listener. It's one of the things I like about you. Every time there's a conversation, I look around, all I see is a big old ear staring me in my mouth. And that's a good thing. Because he filters things. But anyhow, my mandate or vision, and I use, instead of saying vision, I say mandate because I want to stay with the alliteration. Mandate is to put feet on charity by walking in love as Christ also had loved us and given himself for us and offering a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. A sweet smell. It smells good to God. It's just, ooh. My mission. To experience, embrace, and express the love of God by his Spirit to God, the Father, to my neighbor, all those in the sphere of my influence, and to every one of you who knows Christ just the way Jesus did. Glory to God. The means is to abide in him and allow him to abide. Don't forget that part. He said, if you abide in me and I in you, there's your fellowship. The mutual sharing of life with Christ and other Christians. Only Christians can do that. My ministry. I know some of you say, this is your mission. Hey, I don't care. I mean, Lord, we get it done. The ministry, my ministry, or our ministry, is seen over in Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. And that ministry is this. It's to make disciples as you live your life by evangelizing in the course of your life. Some people wonder, why do I sing in restaurants? I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. For his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. I sing. I don't care. You know, we had fun today, didn't we, preacher? You got a witness out of it, didn't you? Amen. We sang happy birthday, and they were trying to keep up, and they did a good job. Amen. But I sing because I know it's a way to witness to folks. And I'm glad you acknowledge that, brother. I used to wonder whether I was grandstanding. It might be a little of that involved. But I don't worry about it because if I worry too much, then they're going to stop me from singing. So I sing anyhow. I might be off key. It doesn't matter. When you're bass, you know, you can just control the whole environment. I like that bass that was up here, man. I was rocking with him. I better not use that here. But I was flowing with him. Amen. All right, man. I don't know the notes, man. I can't read them. But you put me next to him, and I can follow him. But anyhow, folks, the ministry is to make disciples through evangelism, to mark those who are genuinely saved through water baptism. Encourage them to get baptized as a testimony of the fact that they are saved. And then to evangel or to edify the brethren by teaching them after they get saved to observe you. Do you have the audacity to tell somebody to follow me as I follow Christ? Teaching them to observe you as you're obedient to the Lord. That's the ministry as far as I'm concerned. Certainly it's part of the mission. Jesus said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things that I command you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Is that your testimony? It's mine. The mission, the mandate, the mission, the means, the ministry, the method, the method, the method. You know, we ought to have a method for fulfilling the ministry. Amen. And God has called me, and I praise God for it. I finally know where I fit in the body. I'm not a pastor. He's a pastor, and he can have it. Amen. You try. I cannot function in his. I don't even want to anymore. I tried, man. And mine, it almost killed me. And listen, I'm not blaming the mist. Don't get me wrong. But God gives you grace to do what he wants you to do. That's a second man right there. He's proud of it. And man, I tell you what, no wonder he's so goofy, man. I tell you, because he's just happy. Amen? Amen? I didn't see you turning red, so that's okay if I say that, right? You can't tell when I turn red. But anyhow, I tell you what, my wife just loves you to death. Every time I mention your name, the smile goes over her head. I don't know if she's laughing at you or glad because she met you. No. She said, Tony, you should quit messing around so much because you forget to tell people when you're joking. Brother, I'm joking. No, you're my little brother. And not only do I like you, love you, but I like you too. Even though you're out of your mind. Birds of a feather, we flock together. Where was I? The method. God has called me to the office of evangelism. Well, he's not talking to me about that. Well, listen, you're all called to evangelize. And where the missionaries fit in. Listen, they're either glorified evangelists or the evangelists are glorified missionaries. I ain't figured that one out yet. And I don't worry about it because we're all called, amen, to be missionaries. So send I you, commissioned by the Lord, amen. And so my method of ministry is an evangelist, and I am to come alongside of a pastor. And I don't mind. Let him lead. Some people say, well, who has the highest office, the pastor or evangelist? I've heard somebody say, well, the evangelist is mentioned first, so he has the highest office. Listen, brother, I don't care. It doesn't make any difference to me. This whole doctrine of the laity, the Word of God says that God hates him, he hates it anyhow. It's just a matter of pride, amen? The chiefest among you ought to be the greatest servant. Amen. Well, I tell you, now that I like this brother, I loved him before, I don't mind coming alongside of him. I really, really don't. He's a tough guy. He's a tough rascal. I don't mess with him. Come alongside of him for what purpose? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Listen, that's the work of a missionary. Amen. As it relates to you, we're to come alongside of you to equip you, to help you. For what reason? To edify the body, to build up the body. It's not just the pastor's work or the evangelist's work or the missionary's work. We are to equip you to do the work. That's why you really need to listen. Amen? If you've got a pastor who knows that, who is doing that, amen, you need to listen to him whether you like him or not. But as he continues to equip you through the Word of God, and he brings other people along to help him, we need to listen. For the edifying of the body of Christ, for the work of the ministry, which is the edifying of the body of Christ. How long? Until we all come to the unity of the faith. We don't have time to break this down as far as I'd like to. Until we all come to the knowledge of the Son of God, where we learn about Jesus. Until we all, even going deeper, until we all come into the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Unto the perfect man, till we come to a place of Christ-likeness. That's our greatest work. To help people to become like Christ. Because once you become like Christ, everything else just flows into place. You see, when you're abiding in him and he's abiding in you, when he's living his life through you, you don't have to be told or browbeaten or bribed or whatever to do anything. Christ is going to do it through you. Isn't that right? And you'll enjoy it. Because now he's responsible to provide everything that you need. And if he doesn't, you don't go until he does. unless he tells you to go until he does. Make sense? Until we grow up in the Lord, until we mature in the Lord, so we don't be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine and be deceived by those who want to really just take advantage of you. There's a whole lot of that going on. Until we speak the truth in love and grow up into him in all things, in every area of your life. Be ye holy as I am holy. Be like Christ in every area of your life. It's to motivate, challenge, and to encourage you. The method of the ministry that we have is to motivate, challenge, and encourage you to become more like Christ. To motivate, challenge, and encourage the congregation. Look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. What does that mean? Basically, it means this. We are to motivate, challenge, and encourage you to help your brother and sister. Yes, you are your brother's keeper. Become more like Jesus. That's the purpose of the church. And I know some of these things we talked about, but listen, I'm like Peter, man. As long as I'm in this tabernacle, I'm gonna endeavor to remind you of things that you already know. That's what you do on a regular basis, isn't it? It's not about you. Somebody say, it's not about me. Oh, come on now. It's not about me. Listen, let me help you. Over on this side, it's not about me. Okay, you're in competition. Over here, it's not about me. This is weak. It's what? Oh, you had your turn. Forget you. Listen, over here, it's not about me. You guys got hope. No, seriously, guys. That's the purpose of the church. And you know, we've forgotten that. Because we've got a lot of country clubs professing to be churches. You see, and this is where mission giving comes in. Amen? Because it's not only to help the brethren in this church become like Christ by first getting saved and then helping them to grow up in him. But amen, we support those who are going places that God didn't call us to go, but to support them. That's where mission giving comes in. Are we responsible for mission? Is Jesus responsible for missions? Well, who do you think that he's going to use? He's going to give the money that he gave you. Why? Because he wants you to be broke? No, because he wants you to invest what he's given you into his kingdom where moth and rust is not decay and where you invest into eternal things. Does he want all of your money? Listen, he can take it. It's all of his anyhow. But he wants you to wisely invest. So, well, I'm not giving my, it's not yours. Your time, your talents, your they're not yours. The things that God has given you to invest in the building up of the body, not only numerically, but also spiritually. That's the method. You need to find, we talked about this before, you need to find out where your gifted areas are and get busy using those gifts to edify the body. You say you don't know. Before you start a whole lot of tests, go to this brother right here. And ask him, where do you think I can best fit in the body? And I'll tell you right now, the area that you best fit in the body is the area where you edify the body the most. Where you build up someone else the most. Because the gifts were given to help build up the body. You'll reap what you sow. So we talked about the mandate, putting feet on charity. We talked about the mission. Experiencing, embracing, and expressing God's love. We talked about the means for doing that. You got to abide in him, allow him to abide. You have to allow him to live his life through you. That's what abiding is all about. Tomorrow, by God's grace, we'll talk about what does it mean to abide in Him from a missionary perspective. Amen. We talked about the mission, the ministry. The ministry is to make disciples, to mark them and to mature them. The Great Commission. Amen. We talked about the method. The method. You know, my method is the office of an evangelist. But if those who said that you're not in the office of an evangelist, but you're all called to evangelize. Amen. To tell people about Christ. We're all called to do the work of an evangelist. It's not just the pastor's job to do the work of the evangelist. Amen. The pastor doesn't, you know, the shepherd, I've never known a shepherd to make sheep. And if he try, I won't go there. Because some have tried. Here's the message. Here's the message. Here's the message. My messages, by God's grace, must be characterized by preaching and or teaching on the love of God. That supernatural, sacrificial, selfless, unconditional, immeasurable, everlasting, perfect love that seeks the highest good of others at Christ's expense. Are you still with me? A love that cannot be manufactured by the flesh. A love that can only be produced by the Spirit of God, as the love of God is shed abroad in your hearts by the Holy Ghost. We are commanded to preach the truth of God's word in love, whether we are speaking on revival, restoration, repentance, or righteousness, whether we're speaking on God's judgment, God's justice, God's justification, or God's jealousy, whether we're speaking on heaven, hell, hope, or holiness. Someone once asked me, he said, Brother Saxton, aren't you afraid that you're preaching an unbalanced message if you're characterized on the love of God? I said, you know what? I'm glad you said that. And this is how I answered. No. Here's why. The Lord Jesus is the only one who could and did fulfill God's written standard for holiness, the Ten Commandments. He emphasized that the only way to fulfill the law was to love God and others the way He did and still does. The Apostle Paul said the end or the goal or purpose of the law, and in 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 5, the purpose of the law is charity. To bring you to a place where you love God and love others, amen? And love Christians the way Christ loved you. The Apostle Paul and James said in Romans 13, 8 through 10 and James 2, 8 that love is the fulfilling of the law because love seeks the highest good of others. Paul also said that charity or love or God's love is the bond of perfectness because it binds all of other virtues together, including holiness. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, Paul said that charity is the greatest of all human qualities or graces. This is why Paul admonishes us to do all things with charity in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13. The Word of God says the greatest commandment is to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. We're talking about holiness. The second commandment is like unto it, that you love your neighbor as you love yourself. And the new commandment, what we often forget, is to love one another the way Christ loved us. You do that, you don't have to worry. You won't have to worry about trying to be like Christ. Amen. And that's what holiness is. Holiness is Christ-likeness. Well, the Lord gave me a message on true holiness. Can't preach it tonight. I'd often try to preach too many messages at once, so we're going to stay with the one. Once again, charity is the love of God. How do you define charity? For God so loved the world that He gave. My motive is to bear the fruit of Christ's likeness to the glory of God. According to John chapter 15, verse 8, herein is my Father glorified that you bear much fruit, and so shall you be my disciples. Nothing glorifies God more than for us to allow Jesus Christ to live His life through us. And nothing benefits others more than for us to allow Christ to live His life through us as His body. And my motto, last point is this. The motto is the Lord Jesus Christ. I would like to share. Is that your testimony? I would like to share His testimony in Isaiah chapter 61, verse 4. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, for the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And they shall build the old waste places, and they shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. That's the heritage of the saints. We are the body of Christ. God can do exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or think, according to the power of his Spirit that's already at work in our lives. Jesus said, greater works shall we do, because I go to the Father. We're a bigger body now. The love of God, so rich and pure, so measureless and strong, it will forevermore endure. The saints and angels' song. Folks, that's what we need to concentrate on more than anything else. And then we'll stop trying to manufacture Christ's likeness. And we'll just yield to the Spirit of God and allow him to do what he did in his humanity. Paul said of Jesus, he said this. He said that God was in Christ. Come on up, brother. God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. Amen? That's what he wants. He wants us to yield so that he can reconcile the world unto himself. Preacher.